Hey, Samadhi, can you play Peter's podcast?
Welcome to Peter's podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. Today I'm taking you to yoga class where I have an extensive introduction about the chakra system and where it comes from. Afterwards, if you like, you can do the meditation. I left the whole thing on there as well. If you have questions about it, feel free to write me, peterspodcast108@gmail.com. Enjoy the class.
The universe is infinite, and the possibility of describing it is zero, because we don't have infinite kinds of words and infinite kinds of understanding. So anytime anyone is trying to figure it out, or work with it, or work on oneself, you end up creating some kind of subset, some kind of version or analogy or metaphor that serves as a kind of a model or a template that you're operating within, like a framework. And, you know, when you look across all of the art and all of the literature and all of the music of our history, it's like ways of trying to express that. And some things are very explicit, like the movie The Matrix has, this is what could be, that kind of an idea, right? Some of it's much more nebulous, like Kandinsky was thinking about, what does this shape mean spiritually? And in yoga, we're working in a similar way. We have ways of operating on us to try to explain things in a way that we experience them. We don't just have the framework. We're trying to go from the framework of the philosophy to an experience, to understanding in a profound way who we are, what is the universe, what is the relationship between the two, why are we here, how do I find happiness with all of that, all of those kinds of questions. So we, in yoga, have a whole spectrum of practices, and in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a description of different types of people tend to gravitate toward different kinds of ways of relating to things. Some people are more devotional in nature. They kind of have a reverence for what they see as the universe, and that's their way. Some people are more oriented toward work. So if they can find a way to be in work in the right way, that serves as a way for them to get beyond their small sense of self. They're contributing to something. And so forth. And one of the ways is meditation. That's a way. And in meditation, we're literally trying to move our mind from its normal orientation, its normal way of processing, and to pause that and allow for another aspect of what we are. So the premise is, the philosophy of it is, that we are part of the consciousness that is the universe. So this infinite is aware. And through some circumstance, this unbound infinite awareness is also the awareness that is us, because we're part of everything. So in us, though, the knowledge, the awareness, the experiencing isn't infinite all the time. Sometimes it's very personal. I only see through this face, right? And so as I'm doing that, I have an experience that allows me to interact with all you lovely people, right? And vice versa. And to have my own thoughts, right? And work with those and have an idea that I'd like to do something. And so I go and I do that something. All of that. So in the philosophy, the idea is that that whole limitation of us, that whole breaking us down into individual experiences, is like one of those pieces of art. It's like expressiveness of the universe. The universe had a, or is having, an idea to create something, much in the way that we had the same kind of idea to create something. And then we create it, and there it is. Right? And so this is like the grand play. And there's even a name for that in the philosophy of yoga. It's lila, this dance of life. So here we are having that. And our yoga practice gives us a way to transition, to bridge the space between this experience, which has its joys and its amazing things, but it also has a fair amount of what we feel as not so pleasant things, right? So it's difficult to navigate those things, and sometimes it can seem overwhelming, and the more that we're engaging in this part, the more overwhelming it can become, because there seems no way out, right? But the way out is to have the perspective that lets us experience this is just a part of what we are. Okay. To experience that is a natural thing. Right? It's built into the play. The play has as one of its plot points, you decide you want to change things, and then you learn how to do that, and then you do that, and then you're able to be both engaging in the world and having this other aspect of what you are, and the two work together, and then you're living life, and it doesn't feel so stuck, it doesn't feel so limiting, it doesn't feel so full of suffering. And then you have the experience that looks more like the Buddha. Right? You're participating in life, but you're able to maintain and equanimity, which doesn't mean you're not engaging in life, right? Your life can be just as big and expansive and full of determination and all those things that the dance of life is about. And you also have an ability to pull away from that, gain perspective, and then come back into life renewed, refreshed, right? Inspired. And so that's what we're aiming to do through our practice. In one of the yoga models, one of these ways of getting a metaphor of the universe, in about what we think of as the Middle Ages, or even a little bit before, some yogis started playing around with new ways to have this experience. Before, it was very much based on kind of prayer and mantra and doing offerings of, you know, melted butter and fire and things of this nature, more devotional things. So in this era that we now call, like when the Tantra came about, there started to be this more experimenting with what can I do that's more immediate, like more I can do it. I don't need some ritual. I can do it, I can feel it then, and have that experience that I feel bigger, that I feel expanded. And so they started working with all the tools that we now call yoga. Asana, breathing, visualization, reciting mantra. And one of the primary things was to start to think of ourselves more as the energy of us, less as the physical blocks, right? And it can sound a little, woo-woo, right? But science did exactly the same thing, because at first Newton was working with objects, and how do these objects interact with each other? And then scientists like Einstein came up with, wait, it's not just objects, right? And then now we're all the way to the place where objects are really just because our eyes see objects. There's simply energy in a quantum flux. And the energy itself isn't even energy like we usually think of as being very fixed. It's like some weird probability thing. Like, if you look here, there's a chance that something will be there because you looked for it. Otherwise, it's just possibility. It's just consciousness, to use the yogi's word, right? So these tantra yogis started to have this same idea. What if we start thinking of ourselves as energy? Then we can work with this energy. And the model that they came up with for working with it was headquarters of all the kinds of ways we experience life. So they put an energy center icon here, right? Like the icons you double click on your computer, right? They put one here that has to do with stability, the way things tend to come together, the way we get on the ground and in the earth, and we prepare all the physical stuff. We build a house, we get some food, right? We develop a medium of exchange. You know, we're in business, right? We take care of business, right? So that's this headquarters here, and they called it the root. So without that, you can't really function, right? So we have this root center. Then they came to the next center, which is coincidentally right where all our reproductive organs are, in the pelvis. And they considered this the realm of the desires and passions that drive us. Otherwise, we'd just be hanging out. But instead, no, I want to get something done. So as long as we're in this world, we're driven to do things by this energy of passion, the thing I really care about. Then there's the next headquarters, and we're starting to get away from just surviving, get up into the next headquarters, and it's the elemental force of transformation. How do I get that thing done? I have to make something change in order to fulfill my passion. So then we have this next headquarters of the element of fire, earth, water, fire. And then the next one is the element of, or the energy rather, of movement. Things start to go into motion as we're fulfilling our desires, and then we bump into somebody else. So then it becomes not only just about the movement, but how do these things interact when they're moving? So the relationship of that is part of that energy. Moving and interrelationship. So we have that energy going on. Then finally, we express what we are passionate about. So we express ourselves through language, through art, through cooking, through everything we do, through making children. All of the things start working together. And then we have a dance of life. And here we are. In the model that tantricas made, they created the notion of a command center. What's going to be in charge of all of this? How does it flow? And then very much, again, corresponds with what scientists now think of as a brain. Although scientists think of the brain as having some kind of power in it, and yogis think of this quantum flux of energy, and the brain is like being used by it. So we've got then the next thing that happens at the crown of our head, this final energy center that is connected with the whole of things, that is this unbound place as it's now coming into us, right? So it's like the portal between infinite and us. So by having this system, they created a way to think of, okay, I'm all energy, but I'm not just nebulous energy, I'm patterned in a certain way. I have a certain amount of all of these elements at play. I have a command center that's, in essence, programmed with what is this individual expression going to be doing? What's it going to be caring about? How's it going to take care of business? How does it get things done? Does it think a lot? Does it act by brute force? How does it relate? How does it express itself? And so then we have us, based on the program. So using this model, yogis then said, well, let's find out how to get to this place here so that we can have that experience of other aspects of what we are and then be able to go back and forth between dancing and knowing and then dancing a little bit better and then knowing, and then it becomes a graceful life. So, questions about any of that? He's saying, no questions. Good. All right, so the practice that we're going to work with today is to organize those energy centers and tune them up, in essence, right? Have them resonating in the right way for our program. So we're setting up the instrument that is us, so that now we can go play our appropriate song, right? Or paint our appropriate painting, or whatever it is that we're, however we're expressing. So we'll do that using mantra today, using vibration. So if you have a piano tuner come over to your house and you happen to have a piano, right? They would strike a tuning fork and put it on the piano, and it would vibrate with just the right note. And then you would tune your piano to just that note. So then the piano comes into tune. Right? So we're going to do that same thing. We're going to tune each of these notes in us using mantra, resonating the frequency, so that now the thing is tuned up. We'll go and spend 18 minutes in our connection with the whole. And then, with that energy, we'll then come back and plant the song into each of those centers using what we call Artha Vata Samyama. So taking our connection, holding on to that connection, and then saying, okay, tune this up to express wisdom. Tune this up to express wisdom. Tune this up to express wisdom. Tune this up, and so on, right? So that there's this wisdom flowing through us. So that anything we have to encounter in any of these realms is going to be graced with this wisdom that we get from tapping in. We use the mantras lam, vam, ram, yam, ham, psham, om. And then we'll repeat it. So today we're just going to be ringing these like a glockenspiel. I think that's the right word. So we'll just keep ringing them over and over again, and then let ourselves sit in the top. Okay. Questions?
Imagine a paradise of palm trees, rice paddies, beautiful people, beautiful colors, wonderful weather in the middle of February, and yoga to boot. That's the retreat in Bali, February 2020, led by Aino Sirin and myself, with special guest Wendy Newton, February 8 through 15. Check out the show notes for a link, or see peterzorko.com for more information. Can't wait to go, can't wait to see you there. Bali.
all fours. We're going to do a little bit of asana so that it's easy to sit. And to start to have ourselves move, like the tantricas, to experience ourselves as energy. As you breathe in, curl your toes under your arch, open. As you breathe out, put the tops of your feet to the floor, press away from the ground. And then continue to flow on the rhythm of your breath. Next time you're back in the seal, pause there. When we're in our sense of energy, sometimes it feels a lot like thinking, watching our thoughts. Sometimes it feels like emotion. So starting to move over into things that are more etheric. Right now we're going to turn the energy line in the spine upside down, put the chakras in the alternate relationship with the gravity of the earth. So you can do that with downward facing dog. You can do it with a headstand if you have a headstand you're confident with. If it's hard to be in the downward dog, you can come on your knees and just lower your forehead to the mat. So your hips are high and your head is low. Stay really inward focused and come out from your inversion. Sit up on your heels or sit up on a block. Just take a moment to feel what that did. Focus inward, sit over onto the right side of your feet. And you can sit on a bolster or on a block or on a blanket. Great. Then set your hand down on the side where your feet are and take your right arm up in the air. We're emphasizing this right side now, activating it. So as you breathe, your breath moves more into this side, opening up another of our primary energy lines. Inhale back upright and lower that arm down, and then bring your legs around to the other side. Set your hand down where your feet are, raise your left arm, activating now through the left side. Center, lower that arm down, swing your legs out straight in front of you. Set your hands behind you on the floor if you need. If it's hard to sit upright, come up on a blanket or a bolster or a block. In this posture, we're sort of waking up all these core muscles that will help us when we sit in meditation. But also it gives you a good sense of what it is to sit straight. Right? The line that we're going to be ringing, the chakras, ringing those energy centers, is right up through your center from your roots at the pelvic floor to the crown of your head. So here's that line, and let's do that Saham Kriya one last time. Inhale, Sa, the energy comes in to the base. Exhale, Ham, that energy radiates as us from each of those chakras, from each of those headquarters. Let's go ahead and release that. And find a comfortable seat. And sit probably for half an hour altogether. So make sure you're up on something that you go easy with. Sit against the wall. If you're at the wall, put a bolster against the wall as well. There's a lot more support on your back. Be in our center, it's very useful to create a balance between our left and our right side. And we've started to do that with this posture here. We're going to continue to refine that with alternate nostril breathing. So let your left hand rest on your knee. Join your index finger and thumb. With your right hand, these two fingers are going to be on the side of your nose. These two fingers are in the way. So they could either rest on your forehead or they can tuck into your palm. You can try either one. And let your thumb and your ring finger find the side of your nose where the bony part stops and it becomes soft. So on that side, if you press in right there, you'll be able to block your breath. But there's also this little, almost a tenderness right where the bone ends. And that's the end of these two side energy lines. So we'd like to find that spot. And then block the left side and breathe in through your right nostril. Close and block both for a moment. And then release out through the other side. If you're congested, your mouth can help with the air, but press the points. Breathe back in the side you just breathed out from. Close and block both. And then lift your thumb and breathe out through the right side. And we're going to keep going this way. Out and then back in through the same side. Then close both. And release out through the other side. And then back in through that side. And that gives us this wave of breath from side to side. You get lost, just pick up again, out and in through one side, then switch out and back in through the other side, and switch back. which you come around to breathing out through the right side. That's going to be the last cycle. Take your time, but once you get there, keep your eyes closed and your focus inward. Let your right hand release down over your leg or over your knee. And join the index finger and thumb on that side. And we're going to start ringing these bija mantras, these tuning frequencies. And just for review, the centers are at the pelvic floor, in the bowl of the pelvis, behind the navel, in the middle of the chest, in the throat, in the middle of the head, and at the crown of the head, the space literally between the brain and the skull. And to make sure that it's not too complicated or don't have to focus too much, I'm going to do this in call and response. So I'll say the mantra, then you say the mantra, and we'll just go up the chakras that way. So as starting at the base, just repeat after me. Lum. Vam. Ram. Yam. Hum. Kasham. Start to do it silently, and you can continue to do this as long as it's helping you to get quiet, but eventually let go in that space in the crown of the head and simply be there. If you get really distracted again, go ahead and repeat one more time. Keep letting go, keep looking for the silent space. So once again, silently, long. Ram, Yam, Ham, Ksham, Om. Ram, Yam, Ham. meditation. Now we'll channel this other aspect of what we are, this divine quality, back into our living. Begin by bringing the tip of your tongue to the roof of your mouth, just to establish a pathway. Bring your palms together in front of the heart center, like a prayer. But as soon as your hands touch, you're usually tempted to go back outward. So remember, this is energy. So this hands as energy together, move them a little, you feel the tingliness of it, and you feel other qualities. Move your tongue behind the upper teeth to the gum line, and with your intention, channel the meditative wisdom, the insight, the light, to flow down into the palms of your hands. So now that tingling is a mixture of this wisdom and your hand energy. Separate your palms a little, you may still be able to feel the energy as heat. Bring your hands up over your eyes, and you may experience it still as heat or maybe even as light. But whatever the experience is, with your intention now, direct that wisdom into the midbrain, into the command center. And we're going to use some mantras as we move back down through these energy centers. And the mantras are, again, a way to tune, like the piano tuner, to tune this chakra now, to express the quality that we're aiming for. So in the first one here, Om Namah Shivaya, to tune to the wisdom of knowledge. You can sing along or just let the sound vibrate to you. Om Namah Shivaya. Of your meditation down the face toward the throat center. Cross your hands over one over the other so both palms are facing the throat. And as you direct this wisdom and insight here, then everything you express is like a prayer. Everything is full of wisdom and insight. The mantra, Om Ayim Saraswatiye Namaha.
Om Ayim Saraswatiye Namaha.
Draw this energy down to the heart center. This is our center of interaction, of movement. The mantra to make sure that all these interactions are filled with unconditional love is Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo.
Transformational energy in line with your wisdom now. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo.
To the pelvic bowl. bringing us the clarity in terms of those passions so that we follow the passions that are leading us toward our purpose. The mantra, Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha.
Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha.
Draw your hands down to the, as close as you can, to the pelvic floor. And to bring the wisdom here brings you stability and structure in your life, prosperity, everything associated with taking care of business in the most wise way. The mantra, Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha.
Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha.
Take your fingers, the index finger and thumb, and wrap them around the crease line between thigh and torso, and root yourself down here. And one final mantra to make sure that there are no obstacles to this wisdom flowing, so that you find your own inner strength to make sure that you let this wisdom flow in your living. Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha.
Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam 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 Ganapataye Namaha.
Massage from hip to knee, getting your focus back down into your physical body, in your legs, toward the earth. Massage around your knee joints, down your shins. Unwind your legs a little so you can get behind, and with your thumb, walk a line right down your calf, down your Achilles tendon, and when you get to your ankles, hold them tight. So you're really focusing towards your feet now. And then bring the energy into the soles of your feet by walking a line from your heel to your big toe, and then move over a little on your heel and walk out to the second toe. And we're walking five lines, one to each toe, one for each of these kinds of energy in us. The groundedness, the passions, the fire, the transformation, the movement, the expression. Unwind your legs, release your ankles out, and then make your way onto your back into Shavasana and let yourself rest for just a moment. Let your body rebalance. Now as you are filled with wisdom, retuned and balanced, gracefully make your way back toward an active place. Start by moving your fingers and your toes. Run your thumbs across your fingertips. Turn your head a little side to side. If your head is on something high, you can move it out of the way so you don't bother your neck. Draw your knees in towards your chest. Wrap your hands around your shins. Release your back. And then set your feet down on the floor and lift your hips up, creating a bridge pose. So you're lifting your hips and your shoulders rolling right up and making almost like you're a bow, an arrow. You're the bow. And then let's make an arrow too. Draw your right thigh in tight and point your right foot up to the sky. And then lower that leg down and draw your left thigh in and point to the sky. And like the archer Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, you're going to take care of business now. Roll your way back down to the earth. Walk your feet a little wide on the mat. Shift your hips a little to the left and lower your knees over to the right. And when you do that, you could take your right foot and put it on top of your left thigh and get this nice little interstice to your hip on the left leg after sitting with your legs over. Come back to center, feet wide. Lower your knees over toward the other side. And then set your left foot on top of the right thigh. Come back up to center. Hug your knees in. Rock your way all the way up to sitting, or you can roll over to one side and press up to sitting from there. Make a fist with your right hand just below your navel. Take the left on top of the right, and just gently press in and start to tilt forward, and only tilt so far as you feel like you would fall forward. And when you get to that point, your base re-engages, so you feel stable at the base. Come back upright and bring your palms together. Hari Om Tat Sat. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for all your focus. Namaste.
Namaste.
Podcasts stay afloat as labors of love, but they also need to pay the bills. Some do this through random ads. Others can get by as being infomercials for whatever's being talked about on the podcast. I'm hoping to support Peter's podcast, much like a pay what you will yoga class. But there's no box at the front of the door here, so instead I'm using the digital equivalent. That's why I'm asking you to please support Peter's podcast on patreon.com. Instead of a box, there's a link. It's easy, it's flexible if you want to vary your support, and most of all, it keeps this podcast going. Thank you to everyone who's already a podcast patron, and please check it out if you're not. Thank you. That's today's episode. Thanks a lot for listening to Peter's podcast. I hope that you find real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living through your practice. Please support me on Patreon, rate the podcast, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.